For our Lenten season, we've been focused on spiritual growth, with each week looking at a different aspect of our spiritual lives and hearing the invitation to grow into that characteristic in a new or different or an expansive way. So we started with faith and trusting God and growing in that capacity. Last week we talked about prayer and the difference it can make in shaping us. This morning I want to talk about service, the service that we give to others, the service we give to God, and how important a role it plays in our lives to develop a servant's heart, and then through our actions to bless others as God has blessed us. But instead of just starting with all the ways in which we can serve God and serve each other, I wanted to frame this around the early church and really look at what is a vision of a life of service in the church, in the world, look like. And so Acts 2, the end of Acts 2, we get a vision of the early church, and we kind of picked up in that first reading the story midstream. What happened prior to that, and I know we're jumping ahead to the liturgical calendar, was the story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, they're able to speak in all these languages, and then Peter gives his first big sermon, telling the story of Jesus and inviting people to respond in faith. And what it says is, on that day, 3,000 people were baptized, and that begins really the movement of the church. And they form this kind of kumbaya idealistic community, and it doesn't last very long. By chapter 5 in the book of Acts, things start to get a little more human. But for a while, everyone's heart, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. They devoted themselves. They shared all things in common. When anyone had a need, they would sell their possessions and make sure everyone was taken care of. Sounds like heaven to me, where everyone is working together. There's peace and harmony in relationships. No one is ever left behind or neglected, and everyone has what they need. That's the story in the early church, where people were truly had a servant's heart, but they were also and serving through acts of kindness and mercy, like selling what you have and making sure that those who don't have anything have what they need. That's service. But also they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles, who are teaching them about Jesus. They devoted themselves to prayer. So think about Christian service as serving God and serving neighbor. Giving ourselves the time we need, and that's really what service will come down to in our busy lives, and some of you are busier than others. Where do you place your time? And are you making time to serve God and serve your neighbor? It's one thing for us to think, oh yes, I really should volunteer more, or I really should get out and make a difference. And we might understand that. I hope I don't have to convince you of that being important. But it's more, I'm guessing, for many of us, making the time. Now, certainly I know many, if not all of you, serve here at Bethel through the various ministries, volunteer opportunities, and it is amazing. It is amazing. And that definitely is part of service. Service to God, service to this community. But the truth is, the world depicted in Acts chapter 2, it seems so idealistic because it doesn't match the world we live in, where everyone is sharing everything and no one has any need, and they're all devoted to the teachings of the Lord. Does that sound like the world you live in? So what will it take for us as kingdom workers? And that's really what it means to be a follower of Jesus, that we pray, God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we get this idealistic, and I would say heavenly, vision of what our life together should look like, and then we're faced with the disconnect of what life actually is, and how do we begin to bridge that gap? To me, it's service. When we serve God and when we're in right relationship with God, and I don't mean that in a salvation way, I just mean in an everyday walk, are we committed to a life of prayer? Are we in the Word? Are we fellowshipping with each other? Are we staying connected? And when we have right relationship with God, we should, I think, be inspired through acts of service to love our neighbor, to reach out, to make a difference. And the truth is, we are all given gifts from God, talents, passions, and those may change over time as we get older. There may be some things that we used to love that we can't do anymore, but there might be other things you can do. When you use your gifts and give your time to bless others, you are kingdom building on earth. That is what makes the difference. Now, I'm not sure, I guess I'm just cynical enough that I'm not sure we can ever get to that Acts vision of community. But I'm never going to stop trying. We don't have to just give up and say, Lord, I just can't wait for you to take me to heaven because this earth is too much of a hell. We pray God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Jesus himself, of course, models a life of service. Jesus doesn't just come into this world and immediately go to the cross. He spends 30 years on earth, living in relative, as just no one knew him, anonymously. And then he has a 3-year ministry where he serves the people. He goes from town to town and place to place, and he's teaching. The gifts that he's been given is to teach God's word in a powerful way. He heals people. He has the capacity to heal people, the great physician we sometimes call Jesus. And to the extent that it's possible, no one is turned away. Now, in Luke chapter 4, which is a great story, Jesus comes, he's doing his tour, and he comes back to Galilee and to the hometown where he grew up, Nazareth. And he's invited, because perhaps they've heard that Jesus is teaching in a powerful way and doing amazing things, and they say, okay, Jesus, why don't you be the reader today? And so he stands up in the synagogue, and they hand to him the scroll Isaiah. Now, Isaiah is over 60 chapters long. And Jesus picks Isaiah 58. And it's a messianic prophecy. And it says that the Messiah is come to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, sight to the blind, let the oppressed go free, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then it concludes with him handing the scroll back and saying to all who are gathered, the scripture, which is about the Messiah that I just read, has been fulfilled right now. With the implication being, it's me. Now, I've always thought of this messianic prophecy as being like a job description for the Messiah. I know many of you are in corporate jobs, and you have job descriptions, and these are the 10 things that are your responsibility. And we're measured in our work based on how we do according to the job description. Well, Jesus' job description says, let's see if in Jesus' ministry, let's check the boxes, okay? Does Jesus proclaim good news to the poor? I think he does. Does he work to release the captives? Now, we can understand this as being those who are imprisoned. mostly unjustly, and those captive to sin or some other thing. Does he do that? I think so. Does he bring sight to the blind? Repeatedly. And now that could be expanded to help people in whatever health thing they need. Does he let the oppressed go free? Does he bring liberation to people who are in any kind of bondage and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, that now is the time that God is coming? I mean, I think he does all of those things and models for us faithfulness to the gifts he's been given and doing God's kingdom work on earth. So I'd like to suggest that each of us as believers, as the baptized, should have our own job description. That we should have a charter, if you will, of how we ought to serve God and serve our neighbor. And then we can measure ourselves against how we're doing. And really, it's about what are your gifts? What are the things that God has given you that can be a blessing to someone else? And then how are you spending your time? I've been thinking about this for myself, for us as a community of faith, and I think, wow, if we did that, that's pretty big. Sounds daunting, actually, particularly when it comes to measuring myself against what I think God's hope or expectation of me are. But the truth is, if we start to move in that direction, it can make a huge difference in our community, in our world, and most importantly, in us. When we serve others with a glad and generous hearts, when we give ourselves away in being a blessing to others, it not just makes the world better, it feels good. When you actually do something that's meaningful to you and be a blessing to others, I think God creates in us, whether it's endorphins or I don't know, but it feels good to do good. God wired us for service of neighbor and to be a blessing. So as we consider spiritual growth, how can we grow in our relationship with God? There's many aspects to it. Today, the simple encouragement is use your gifts and give your time in whatever way God places on your heart. Be the blessing and let the Spirit do God's work in our world. Amen.